And you say pass her up and around, and just, you know, keep us in prayer as well. As, you know, we go through some things physically and spiritually, of course, and battles are pretty raging. We had a battle last night. I was telling Pastor a little bit about what happened in the home, and, you know, God's got to work that type of thing out. Pray also for January 22nd, our first men's meeting out here, and at Black Creek, and I'm just hoping the turnout will be wonderful. The Lord just laid it on my heart for this area to, you know, get a men's meeting going, because Pastor Joe Perticone out there at Trinity Baptist Church in Rochester, so what he does every few months, he has a men's meeting just to uplift the men and exhort them and get them back out there and encourage them, you know, whether it be for a home or whether it be for a church or a ministry, men need to be lifted up. And today we've pretty much been pushed out. Okay, it's just how society treats men today and such. And so I was like, man, you know, I travel almost 2 hours to go there for that men's meeting. Why not here? Right. Let's just see what the Lord can do with it and see what happens. And so the Lord related on my heart, and I got some stuff lined up. Brother Ronnie Skolton's going to be our first speaker that night. Greg's going to do some music with Pastor Hayne and such. So I think it'd be a blessing. We'll have some food and such afterwards. So just keep that in prayer. We'll just see what the Lord does with it. And I was on my way over here, and I was just thinking, and the thought came to my head, peace be still. The storms were just raging inside of me. And you know, people are always looking, when they're looking for God today, they're looking for that outside thing, something to happen for them. They're looking for that religious experience that happened to them. But it was the inside peace. That's when I knew something had changed, because that inside turmoil. And I was reminded of the when Jesus Christ was on the ship and he was sleeping and there was a storm raging. Mm-hmm. And in that storm, he just said, peace be still, and was done. And that's what he does to the soul. That's what he does to the inside of a person, because for all those years, for 40 years, I had that raging going on inside. And for 40 years, I was always physically trying to reach for something, always physically. When it was in front of my face the whole entire time, it was a spiritual peace inside. And so that's really what the Lord has given me for these three messages today, is the whole peace being still and so on and so forth. So the very first thing that we want to start with is, do we believe the Bible verses or simply know them? A lot of people don't understand that's a struggle for them, Pastor. They don't understand that that's a struggle for them, because they take, and because they know verses, they take that as the same as living verses, and it's not. They're totally two different things. Knowing Bible verses and living Bible verses are way two different things, but people take that knowledge that they get and they believe that they really can live them, and they cannot. And so that's something the Lord put on my heart, and I want to start by reading Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans chapter 4. We'll start here, and I have quite a few that I'm going to turn to here, but Romans chapter 4, and I just want to show a few things here about this. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 17, if I can get there. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And it says this, verse 17 to 18. And it says in Romans chapter 4, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, he quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as they were. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to all that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In verse 20, if you go down there, and he said, is it staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here's what I want to get at. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And I'm just going to say this. Belief in your Bible is someone who is fully persuaded at what God's promised in his word. That's what belief is. Belief is that the Holy Ghost of God, when the Bible is being preached or when that Bible is being taught, that person who is sitting in the pews or wherever they're at is fully persuaded that what is being said in this Bible is the truth. Without that being fully persuaded, there is nothing to it. It's just a person who knows those verses, but they have no understanding. They have no belief. They do not believe. They are not fully persuaded that what God says amongst those verses is the truth. What a sad place to be. What a horrible trap that is, because when I was in that religious aspect of my life, going in and out of jail and prison, I lived thinking that I really believed those verses, and I came to the point that I did not believe those. And so many people sit across from me, and the people that we work with in churches today, they know these verses, but they are not fully persuaded that those verses are for them, that God really wants to save them. That's the new thing that I hear now from people, that God really just don't want to save me. You know why? Because that person's not fully persuaded that God wants to save them. That belief is not in them. It's not there. They look at God and they say, "You're a liar because you don't want to save me." Well, do you believe what that Bible? Yeah, I believe what that Bible says. You can't be both. Mm-hmm. Which one is it? You see, a lot of people are afraid to turn it around and realize, man, I don't believe that. I'm not persuaded that this Bible is the truth. Okay? A lot of people are afraid to turn that around and look at the Bible says, examine yourself. What are we examining ourselves against? The things of the world? The religious things that we do to try to appease God, to try to appease that turmoil inside. No, we examine ourselves with that King James Bible. That King James Bible is going to turn us out. It's going to turn us upside down. It's going to shine light in that darkness. It's going to be that spirit that God talks about in Proverbs 20:27 when it says it searches the innermost parts of who we are. You know, when a lawyer goes to the court and he's going to sit there and he's going to defend his client, he's going to go through every bit, every inch, every little bit of evidence that he can. Why? Because he's going to try to fully persuade the jury that this man is not guilty or this person is guilty. And they're going to examine, cross-examine, re-examine. And that's what the Bible does to a person who's lost. That's what the Bible should do to a person who is lost. But we stop the examining. Why? Because we get caught up in the seeking. People are caught up in the seeking and they forget the examination part of what that Bible can do and the Holy Ghost of God moving in that person. Because they've been caught up in the seeking. And they get caught up in that whole seeking for Jesus Christ and they forget, wait, there's an examination part of this. There's something much more deeper than just the seeking. That's what people aren't saying. Thank you for the water, Mary Lee. I appreciate that. Being fully persuaded. Look at the book of Job is the oldest known written book on earth. It's not the oldest writings, but it's a complete book with characters and a plot and such. So it's the oldest book written, as far as we know. It's the oldest written book on the earth right now. And I want you to see something in Job chapter 33, if you would turn there. Look at Job chapter 33. There are older writings and such, like I said, but not a complete book. Job has a plot, has characters and so on and so forth. And so we see here in Job chapter 33... And we'll go to verse 27 through 30. Job chapter 33. I got to get there myself. Job chapter 33. And I'm always dropping stuff. Don't let it bother you. Always. I always drop stuff. That's just part of who I am. Job chapter 33. Thank you. I appreciate that. Verse 27 through 30. Thank you. I appreciate it. Job chapter 33. And look what it says here. And he looketh upon men. This is talking about God. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God ofttimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. And so we see here that this is the first gospel message being preached in Job. It's the oldest sermon being preached. And Job is, what is he saying? He's preaching to people and he's trying to get them to see. Is there anybody in here who disagrees that they're not a sinner? Everybody knows they're a sinner. I mean, there's not a person on the planet who wouldn't say, no, I'm not a sinner. They all know that. But listen, it goes on farther here. And he says, he looketh upon men if any have sinned and perverted that which was right. And people today don't understand that perversion that they're called. What is right? Well, you know, I'm not out there stealing. I'm not out there breaking the law. I'm not going to jail. I'm not getting arrested. That's the perversion they're looking at. They don't understand that this is not what God is talking about. This is not what the Holy Ghost of God is talking about in the book of Job. He's perverted that which is right. Those commandments, those precepts, those statutes that God has given, those are what they've perverted. Those are the things that they have done. That is what God is holding them guilty of. You see, Paul talks about it in Romans when he says it's the law. It's the law that shows somebody they're lost. It's the laws of God. It's those commandments of God that shows a person where they stand with him. But they have looked, and where are they going? They're looking outside of that. They're not looking in the Bible. They're not looking in the laws of God. But they're looking at the things that they do physically. And God is not worried about what they do physically. He's got to, you know, I was reading the paper or the news this morning, and I see all these places. They like to get their pictures taken because they've done a good deed in society. They've learned how to feed the people. They've learned how to clothe the people. They've learned how to give them jobs. They've learned how to help them get a place to stay. But what they don't do is help change the inside of that person. They leave them the same person and set them out there like they know what they're doing. Time and time again, I just see how society is missing the whole justice. Look, I prayed this prayer, Brother Gray. I said, it's not about feeding the people. It's not about clothing the people. It's not about getting them a place to stay or a job. It's about showing them a new life in Jesus Christ. That's where the victory is going to be, is when they can get saved, because when they get saved, that person can go out there now and start functioning as God wants them to function. But that's missing out there. And let me get my picture in the paper. Look, I delivered 50 hams. But you know what? We feed that person for one day. We put clothes on them for 1 minute. I see people who get housing now. They get housing straight out of jail or straight out of prison. Has it helped them? Why? Because they're still the same person. Why? Because they're looking at how good I can do on the outside. They don't understand that they're perverting that which is right by doing those things against God. And then he doesn't stop there, and he says, at that perverted which was right, and here's the big one. Here's what the one that got me, and it profited me not. My goodness, that tore my heart out when I realized my past did not profit me, because I didn't look at my past that way. I didn't look at my past and said, you know what, that's a bad past. Okay, we're going to go ahead and leave that behind. But I never, when I first read this, I said, oh my goodness, what did my past profit me? You'll see, over the past few years, my testimony has changed. Because my testimony used to almost be kind of braggatory. Like, look how bad of a boy I was. And then look what God has done. And God just got all over my case about it. I said, what did it profit you? And I was like, ooh. Yeah. Just tore my heart out. Because I had the wrong attitude given my testimony. And God had to change the way I came at that direction of giving my testimony, where it wasn't so braggatory. It wasn't so where I was so proud of, look where God brought me from. Look at what's happened to me. Because it didn't profit. There's not a person on this planet in the past 40 years who said they could have profited from my relationship with them. That tore me up when I realized, oh my goodness. I was looking at that the totally wrong way. Okay? Do you believe the Bible verses or simply know the verses? You know how we can know this? The proof will be where you stand with God and where you're, and your life will reflect it. A person who not only knows verses but believe those verses, belief in your Bible demands an action. Never forget that. That's one of the things that I learned a few years ago about studying out that word believe, man, and it blew my mind when I seen that belief in your King James Bible will always demand an action. And never let somebody sit in the same position they were before they understood that. When a person believes something, they react to it, good or bad. Okay? It will never keep a person in the same position they were. And that's one of the things that God had to show me before I got saved. It wasn't long before I got saved is me knowing that I did not believe that Bible like I thought I did. I knew those verses very well. Ask my wife when I got out of prison. There wasn't a Bible version or a Bible verse that I couldn't quote to you. But what good did it do me, brother? Zero. Why? Because I didn't believe those verses. I was not fully persuaded that those verses really were true. I looked at, you know what they were to me? A religious act. They were stories on paper. And they were a way for me to try to escape what I was in. Because I really did want out. That's the difference between me and a lot of guys getting out of prison. I wanted out of that life. I just had no clue how to do it. But thank God for God in his mercy who sent a man of God my way that I would listen to. And God was able to, by the Holy Ghost and the preaching of that King James Bible, to show me, pin me down in that pew and show me exactly what it was going to take, exactly what I needed. That's how good God is. But I went there the first time I went to go to church. You know what my thought was? I'll go teach this man a thing or two about a Bible. That was my thoughts. Why? Because I knew verses, but I didn't believe them. It's a huge difference. People are caught in that thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 6. Explains the light. Okay, look at, you could, while you're turning there, it says the proof will be where you stand, that your life will reflect it. Verse 30 shows us what the outcome of the one who believes these verses. Verse 30 says, to bring his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Verse 28 makes it clear that if a person sees things the way God sees it and believes it, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. You understand that? There is no if, ands, or buts, but there is no doubt that if a person believes this Bible the way God said and believes salvation and believes in Jesus Christ, God will. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance.
Are you in 2 or 1 Corinthians?
I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Oh, okay.
And look at, a lot of people believe they're going to die and go to hell, but they don't believe Jesus Christ will save them. They'll believe the torments and the tortures of God, but they won't believe in the goodness and the grace and the salvation from God. And that's a huge struggle that I struggle with people all the time. It's how can you believe that about the Bible, but you can't believe Jesus Christ wants to save you? That doesn't make sense to me. Why? Because they're not fully persuaded on either one side. Okay? They haven't seen the light. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6 explains to us the light. But it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are, what, lost. That gospel is hid to be. They're not fully persuaded. They don't believe that Jesus Christ wants to save them. Why? Because the gospel is hid from them. They're a lost person. It's hid from them. And look what it says. In whom the God, small g, of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you're a person sitting in this room today and you do not believe this Bible, your mind has been blinded to the gospel. But wait, there is hope. And it's my favorite word, Brother Greg. I love this word because it brings so much hope. Look what it says. Lest. Lest. Woo! Thank God for that word, lest. Because there's hope for a person that's lost. Because it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. My goodness, God is trying to shine that gospel light on somebody today.
Yes.
But they don't want to see it. Why? Because they've been blinded because they believe not. Thank God for that word, lest. My goodness, that should give you hope in this room today. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's God's will for a person's life. He died for every single person on this planet. Thank God for it. But you know what the problem is? People have become comfortable with knowing verses, but not believing them. They become comfortable in their seeking, but not examining. Examination is a hard thing. It's hurtful. But it's necessary. It's necessary. An examination. What do we examine ourselves with? This Bible. Let this Bible examine every bit, every crack, and every crevice of who and what you think you are. And God will expose it. That's what it says. The Holy Ghost, he's sent to reprove. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I can. Verse 4 says, to those who believe not, there's a difference between believing and knowing. You see, verse 4 says, the gospel light must shine on the mind. But look what verse 6 says. And verse 6 says that it must shine on the heart for one to believe. Listen, God didn't leave one without the other. The gospel light must shine on your mind, but it also must shine in your heart. Most people today are only allowing the gospel to shine in their mind. That's why they know the verses. But it has not gotten to the heart, brother. The man who had a son in Mark chapter 9 who brought his son to be delivered from the devil. Jesus Christ could have dealt with that young boy, but he did not. He dealt with the Father. You know what he did? He dealt with the Father under the law, and he brought him to a place where he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Yes.
Lord, I believe. Knowledge. And knowledge of the Bible and knowledge of my unbelief. I believe that. But he said, help my unbelief. He didn't have the heart knowledge because you see here in 2 Corinthians, there's a head knowledge and there's a heart knowledge. Knowing verses is not going to save a person. Believing them will. There is a belief. Man, that word belief, I'm just telling you, believe. All meant believed. That's in your Bible 284 times. Most of it in the New Testament. Most of it in the book of John. And I'm telling you what, John is a gospel. John is a salvation gospel. It shows a person exactly what it's going to take to be saved. And I'm telling you right now, that word believe is all through it. Jesus Christ preaches on a person repenting and believing. Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says you must repent and believe. You can't have one without the other. A person who does not believe will not repent. Can't happen. Galatians 3:22 says that God, what? He gives saving faith to those who believe. That's where saving faith is given. Go read Galatians 3:22. He says he gives saving faith to those who believe. What a wonderful thing. Thank God that I believe. Thank God that God has given me that, though I don't have to have just a Bible knowledge. Psalm chapter 51, verse 16 and 17 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. You see, it's not the works that we do that God is desiring. He's not looking for the works that we can do. And a lot of people take, well, you know, I go to church and, you know, I pray and I read and here I am seeking. Let me just say this. Seeking has become a high place in people's life. And I'm going to preach on that at 6 o'clock tonight. God clearly showed me where people are caught up in that thing, and it's become a high place. And I'm telling you right now, a high place in the Bible is a bad place to be with God. It's never a good place to be. Sacrifice or else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. What are the sacrifices of God? A broken spirit. A broken, here it is, and contrite heart. You know, many people that we meet in the jails, you guys see, they have a broken spirit. They have a broken heart.
Yeah.
But what's missing is contrition, that deep and absolute sorrow for what they are in God's eyes. They just can't see it. Why? Because they're caught up in their religious duties. They're caught up in that. You know, many people who are in jail and prison, they really want out of a lifestyle, but they only want out of it out of a religious experience.
Right.
I want to feel good while I'm in jail. There's not one person. Not one person that I know. I'm trying to think. That's why I paused there. I'm trying to think. Not one person that has gotten out who said they've gotten saved, who's neither ever contacted me or I've seen back in or out there right now floundering. Not one. Why? Because all they're looking for is a religious experience while they're in jail. They're looking for that jailhouse religion. God's not looking for that. Now, can God save? Of course he can. Of course he can. He can save anybody in jail and prison. And people have gotten saved in jail and prison. And people are out there living for Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's a very rare thing. Why? People are caught up. They have a broken heart and they have a broken spirit. Then people aren't happy when they go to jail or prison. They're not sitting there going, hey, cool, man. This is awesome, man. I'm in jail now. This is, you know, what? That's not. They have a broken spirit and a broken heart. And they think that is conviction. Look, just because you have a broken spirit and a broken heart doesn't mean you're under conviction. Contrition, a deep and absolute sorrow for what you've done. It's called godly sorrow in the Bible. Godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is what brings repentance to salvation, Paul teaches.
Right.
It's not the, well, I'm sorry for this or I'm sorry for that. That's not contrition. Right. Contrition is something you've done against the holy God. It's not what you've done against people or what you don't do, okay? Contrition is a deep and absolute sorrow for what you understand that you are in God's eyes. That's contrition. And let me ask you, let me just say this. Let me clear this up because I see so many people getting caught. They're looking for a level of contrition. There is no level of contrition. God just wants you to be contrite about it. He wants you to understand, but you know, so many people stay lost or they don't come to Jesus Christ because they believe they have to reach a certain height of contrition. Show me where that's in the Bible. God just wants you to understand what contrition is, what that really is. And then when you believe that, oh my goodness, believe that. Repentance unto salvation. Boom. Salvation was the easiest thing that ever happened to me. It was getting there. That was the hardest. You know why? I stopped God. Can God, is there a person in this room that God cannot save right this moment? Not one. What's the problem then with him? Mm-mm. Not going to know that problem unless you examine. Look, he says, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Verse 16 is clear. God does not want or accept the works for salvation. He desires what the Holy Ghost brings to a person. And well, I'll tell you what, last Sunday evening, Brother Tim hit that perfectly, that pricking and that cutting. Woo! Man, I'm just telling you, that's what's going to bring a person to contrition, to believe, and repent to salvation, is that cutting and that pricking is a necessary thing. A lot of people want to try to shake it off like Paul did with that serpent. But it's going to kill them. It didn't kill Paul because he was a man of God. But people keep shaking off that serpent of pricking and keep shaking off that serpent that's being cut. You know what? He that often is often reproven, hard his neck. Suddenly shall come destruction and without remedy. That's a scary, could you imagine that verse? That's a scary verse. Without remedy, there's going to be no remedy for that person. There's going to be nothing or nobody on this entire planet or anywhere that can ever help that person. Whew. Thank God I learned how to stop shaking off that conviction. Thank God I learned how to stop shaking those things off when God brought them to me. As a woman who came to Jesus with an issue of blood, Jesus showed her more than just her issues. So many people are trying to come to Jesus Christ, Pastor, with just an issue. Well, I'm alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, or that's not what he's after. He's trying to show a person what they don't see. I see people all the time, Betsy, who keep coming to the altar over and over again against this, with the same thing over and over and over. God knows you know that. He's off of that. He's left that. He's trying to move on to something else. The problem is that person won't move on. God's not trying to get that person to keep coming to the altar or keep coming to him in prayer with the same things over and over again. He already knows you know that. Now he's trying to move on to something else. But that person stops it. They limit the Holy One of Israel, the Bible says. Can't move on any farther. And let me ask you this. I asked a couple people this. I said, when God shows you what it is that you need for salvation, will you believe it? Will you believe it? How do you know he already didn't show that to you? But because of your fear and unbelief, it stops you from being saved. How do you know God already didn't bring you to that place of contrition? But because of your fear and unbelief, which is in Revelation, and those people, it's talking about in the book of Revelation, that they have fear and unbelief. They're the same ones that die and go to hell. What stopped them? Fear and unbelief. What's it going to take to convince you? Believing. I wish I had the time, maybe one day I will, to come here and show you that belief is a choice that you make because you've been fully persuaded by the Holy Ghost of God that this is the truth. It's a choice you make. God doesn't give you the belief. That's a choice you make. He gives you the saving faith to who? Those who believe. Yes. But I'm telling you right now, fear hath torment. Yes, Autumn? It doesn't say fear hath torture. Because torture has breaks in between. Somebody's being tortured, they take breaks. A torment never stops. That's what people are who are seeking for God, for Jesus Christ. They're in complete torment their whole entire. Why? Fear has torment. It doesn't ever stop. Fear stops from people from being saved. Fear stops and unbelief stops them. How do you know God didn't show you what you needed to be saved already? But you won't see it because your fear and your unbelief stop you from seeing that. Then when God does show you, are you going to believe it? It's a struggle that people are caught up in. It's a nasty, horrible trap. And I'll show you a little thing about that when we go later on at 6 o'clock today. Look at the one with the issue of blood. She did all she could. And all else failed. Her works were in vain. She spent all that she had. She'd done everything in her power to help that issue go away, and it never did. It says that it only made her worse. I watch people who are seeking pastor, and it's only making them worse. They have gotten no closer to God. Why? Because they're trying. They're trying and not letting the Holy Ghost of God do it. Didn't help her. That's an example that God, Jesus Christ, gives about a person. You know what happens? When that woman finally hears of this man, Jesus Christ, and what he can do for her. She believes. She busts out that door, and she gets to Jesus Christ, and she wasn't going to let nobody or nothing stop her from getting there. Nobody. It says she thrown the crowd. She pushed him out of the way because nothing, because she knew, she believed. You see, her belief demanded an action. It made her go and do something. What did it make her go do? Run to Jesus. You know when you start believing is when you start running to Jesus. Because she understood, Amy, that if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Can I share a little secret with you? This is the hem of Jesus' garment, my friends. It's right there. Are you getting to it? You don't need nothing else. It's here. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. That's the King James Bible. Let me make that clear. And I know you guys believe that. That is the incorruptible seed. That is the hem of his garment. Jesus Christ in John 1:14 says the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus Christ being the word of God. Book of Revelation says his name is the word of God. Capital W-O-R-D-Y. That's a name. It's his name. It's who he is. There it is. Got a King James Bible sitting in front of you. Get to the hem of his garment. It didn't stop her. It made her get to him. And nothing on this planet was going to stop her from getting to Jesus Christ because she believed that if she can get to him, she would be made whole. You know what that means? Not only did her issues go away, but her plague, the plague of her heart, that sin nature got taken care of. After that sin nature got taken care of, her plague, because Jesus Christ said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole of thy plague. He didn't say nothing about issues, did he? Because he wasn't after her issues. But who's everybody trying to come to us in jail? Where they try to come to us with their issues. An issue in your Bible, 99% of the time, is about an outward physical thing. That's what an issue is. Jesus Christ is worried about the plague, which is inside of a person. When he gets to that plague, guess what starts going away? The issues. Woo! Thank God for it. There ain't nothing like it, my friends. I'm just telling you. Until you start experiencing that. You know what? There's nobody in here who God doesn't want to give that to. There's nobody. Everybody, you know, I hear people all the time, they're caught up in this idea that God wants to withhold salvation from them, and that's so far from the truth. God's not trying to withhold the salvation from you. He's just trying to make your eyes open. He's trying to clear them, right? That's what he's trying to do. What a wonderful God we have. Look at when she finally seen her plague, and she came to a place of belief and contrition and repentance, as Psalm 51 says, it says, oh God, thou wilt not despise. God will not despise you. God will not despise when you come to him the way he wants you to come to him. He won't despise that. He's not looking for the works, though. He's not looking for that. He's looking for the examining to happen to a person. And that examining, when that belief comes and they come to that person, bam, it's over. It's done. Never has to be dealt with ever again. Salvation. Eternity in heaven. My goodness, what a wonderful thing it is to stand up here tonight. And we were talking with Autumn last night. I said, Autumn, I used to be tormented by the thoughts of death. I'm not tormented by death anymore. Because death doesn't have a sting on me. Not because I was going to die and go to hell. It was just the simple fact of dying used to scare me. I mean, unbelievable fear in me. But death has lost its sting. Why? Because of Jesus Christ.
When you're talking about examining, you're talking about a person getting the word of God, right?
Unbelievable.
And looking in there, and then when they're looking, God shows them.
That's right. Okay? Because most people, they read their Bible and call that seeking. They go to church and they call that seeking. They pray and call that seeking. Oh, no. Seeking is much more than that. That's why it says that God is a reward of those who diligently. That means an examination is going to take place, and that person is going to be, listen, that person is going to be open to what is exposed to them.
Yes.
You have to allow yourself to believe what God shows you in that Bible of yourself. That's what a lot of people are trapped up in that, though, and they're religious things that they're doing, which are good things. Mm-hmm. Going to church, reading your Bible, praying, those are good things. Those are things that you should not give up if you're a lost person seeking. You don't give those things up, but don't let them become your idol. Don't let that become your high place, because it will stop you from getting saved. Examine. Let that Bible examine. Let it tear it down. Let it tear. Listen, it's a painful thing. Most people try to cover it up with drugs, alcohol. They go to, you know, they go out there and get drunk and do all that kind of stuff. I remember when God started exposing those things to me, I really ran to a psychiatrist because I thought I was going crazy. But really, God was just awakening my conscience back up. Thank God I had a man of God tell me different. A man of God is so important to a church. Yes. Because he can help a person understand what they're going through spiritually, because everybody thinks physical. When God is dealing with a person on the spiritual, it's a whole different ballgame. It needs a man of God. You guys are blessed in this church to have that man of God. Look at when Samuel heard God calling, who did he run to? God? He ran to Eli. And Eli had to teach him, no, that's the voice of God. You go answer God. That's what your pastor does. Okay? That's what my pastor did. That's the understanding that I was able to get, because I didn't understand the voice of God, but he did. It's important today, and it's a lost art where men of God hear and understand the voice of God so they can teach their people that. Because you know why? There's another God out there with a small g in front of it. That's the voice they're used to hearing. And you know what? The man that stands behind the pulpit doesn't know any better himself. That's why it's important to have a man of God to be able to help discern what's going on. Even if your pastor is your dad, he's still the man of God. God put him in your life for a reason. That's reality. You sitting on that front row, it's not a mistake that that man is your dad. And he's the pastor. It's not a mistake. God knows what he's doing. That's reality. God knew that John Ashworth was going to be able to come in and give that word to me, and the Holy Ghost was going to be able to convict my heart, cut and prick me, and I would listen to it. I know many other men that way now, and I thank God for them, but it had to be somebody that I would listen to, okay? Somebody who knew, somebody who understood, okay? When God shows you an issue, he's not done. Many people think, okay, this is the final one. This is the one. He finally showed it to me. And then when they get up, they're discouraged because nothing's changed. Why? He just showed you an issue. That's one step closer for you seeing that plague. You see, God's got to hide pride from man first and foremost. That's what the Bible says. God's got to hide pride from man. Behind that pride is all your sins and everything else, all those things that are built up in there. That's why it says in Proverbs 20:27 that God puts a spirit in every one of us. Why? To get in that innermost part, that place we don't want to go to, that place we will not look, or that place we don't even know is there. God's got to dig into that, and sometimes it takes a while. A person gets saved right now instantly. It's over. There's so much that God can do that. That's not even a question. But sometimes God's got to dig, because there's a lot of things he's got to get out of the way. Thank God I didn't have a lot of religion in my life. And it was easier for God to tear some of that stuff out of my way. For people who have grown up in church, they may be trapped behind a lot of religion that God's got to move out of the way and show them. Okay? That's just how it goes. Just, that's a reality. But you know what the thing is? Here's where your hope lies. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's not leaving you out there. I know it feels like it sometimes. It feels like you're in the desert, in the wilderness, and you're out there. It's not, though. He's there. Every step of the way, he's there. Look at this. It says, you don't have to turn there. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know what? That's a command. You don't have a choice. You will repent or you will not come to Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Way, singular. A lot of those other Bibles and stuff put ways. There's no ways. There's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, my friend. Okay? And that's where he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe what? The gospel. The good news. Jesus Christ died for you. He went on that cross. Not to leave you hanging out over hell. Because I'll tell you what right now. The fear of hell isn't saving anybody today. If that's the case, why aren't they saved? People aren't afraid of hell right now. That's a good reason to be saved, but they're not afraid of it. Because if a person really was afraid of hell, they'd be saved. Nothing would stop them from getting to Jesus. But let me just say this. The devil, he's very sly. He's very slick. And he's taken the word of God, and he's taken it and made it where people are numb to it today. Let's hold it up at a football game or a baseball game or whatever. Let's just quote it so much that it has no power with it anymore. Does that mean the power come from the Word of God? Has been taken from the Word of God? By no means, no way. But because of the hardness and the stiffness of the man's neck and the hardness of their heart, they look, the power's been taken out of the Bible because of them. Not because the power's missing out of here. But because the devil has so blinded the minds of them which believe not. Those who are getting abortions and those who are trapped in sodomy and all that kind of stuff, they don't believe. They don't believe for 1 minute that this God of the Bible. They don't believe for 1 second the God of this Bible. If they did, they'd be saved. They wouldn't do the stuff they do. But do you know how blind they are? They're so blind that they don't realize that two men or two women can't have babies amongst each other. They believe that it's natural for them to be what they are. You know how blind you must be to believe that that's how God wants, intends human beings to be? How would we have babies? How would the world populate? How would, look at, because it says that his government will continue, how would God's government continually grow? You see, it's the blindness. They're trapped by the small g of this world. I'm going to be done here in a minute. Look at, you must turn from your way to God's way of thinking. And you know what? You're sitting here and just say, tell me this right now. Tell me, Betsy, are there things not in your life that you've repented of? That's right, you sure have. You understand what repentance is. You know why? Because God showed you what contrition is by showing you that thing. So what else is it stopping you? You already understand what contrition is, because if you didn't come to a place of contrition, you wouldn't have repented from that thing. What's stopping you? That's what you need to ask. What's stopping me? What is that thing that's stopping me? Think about that. Okay, you're already doing those things that God has asked you. What is stopping you? He says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I just want to close with this last verse, if I could find it here. And then we'll close. I can't find it, but you know what he says? He says, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. My friends, look it. When you're reading that Bible and an examination's happening, you're sitting on the preaching and the Holy Ghost of God is moving in these pews, fear not. Only believe. Believe that God is showing you something. Because if you don't believe it, you'll walk out of this door the same way you came in here. What's it going to take for you to believe? Get rid of that fear, okay? I'm done, Pastor.